from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. We are having a wonderful, cool morning, and I just want to say good morning, Lizzie. We are here in person. What happened last week?
Okay, so remember the hurricane that we had, or hurricanes, plural, but the last one, I think we had, I don't remember the name of it. It was such a blur, but it ended up doing a little bit of damage here in Orlando. That's what happened, is that finally the energy it was able to come through, but they had to redo a lot of stuff to get us ready for this next hurricane season.
So we didn't have any electricity in our building. Mm-mm. And you know, we wouldn't have been able to get out.
Yeah, no, that's actually, we wouldn't have been able to get in until, you know, the building, the bottom floor, and even on the weekends, it doesn't really open on the bottom floor either. So yeah, it's all welcome to having technology everything. So we could have gotten in the building technically because there were engineers here, but if we left or had to leave, we may not have been able to get out of the building. So
we did a best of, and we appreciate everyone who listened in and sent in questions and texts. We'll get to them today.
Yes.
I also want to thank the city of Sanford and the Sanford Cultural Guild for putting on such a great garden walk last weekend. I had an amazing time. Saw beautiful gardens, and I just think it was a great event. So I really do appreciate it. And so we have a beautiful day today. There's an event coming up today. I'm going to be talking to Tina McIntyre with the Seminole County Extension, the University of Florida IFAS Extension. And we're celebrating Earth Day. And so I will be at Lowe's today in Sanford on 1792. If you'd like to stop by, I will help you pick out plants for your yard and even do some landscape design.
Okay, wait. What time is this?
This starts at 9 o'clock, and it goes through till 12 today.
So
I will be out there. I would love to, you know, come out and say hello, mm-hmm. and I'll help you select plants for your yard or look at your, you know, if you bring photographs of your yard, I can help you decide what to select or do, or if you're having problems with it, I'll be happy to do that.
Of all days, I didn't take a picture of my wall where my poinsettias are, and I'm readjusting everything. Dadgummit, Teresa.
Well, you can send it to me anytime, Lizzie.
Oh, okay, thanks.
So besides celebrating Earth Day, we'd like to say happy Passover, Chag Pesach Sameach, to all of our listeners, Jewish listeners,
yes.
and have a happy Passover.
I'm excited. I'm taking the Grand Brats. Shrek and I, my husband and I, we call Shrek. Shrek and I are taking the Grand Brats to go see the Angel Studios movie, King of Kings.
Yes, I saw that.
We bought our tickets ahead. We were one of the 14 million or whatever tickets that have been pre-sold. And so, we bought our tickets, and we're so excited.
They will love that. Tell me how it is. That'll be great. And so, cool morning. We had a cold front come through. The weather this next week is going to be beautiful. We're not going to get any more rain after last night. So it's going to be 7 to 10 days. And so, it's going to be great sleeping weather. The cooler temperatures, you know, we're watering twice a week, you know, throughout Florida. But you may not need it. Again, it's just something that, you know, Floridians can get by. Our landscapes can get by with 1 inch of water. And I'll be talking to Tina McIntyre about that this morning. And so I'm looking forward to it. North Florida, sunny all week, high in the mid-70s, low 80s, and nighttime temperatures of 50s and 60s. So that's a great, great week. Central Florida, mid to high 70s and mid-80s down in Tampa. Orlando, all the way across Central Florida, lows in the 60s, sunny all week long, beautiful weather. Miami, you're going to be sunny all week, highs in the 70s and low 80s. Springtime breezes. It's going to be beautiful weather. Temps in the mid-70s and low 80s. That's going to be wonderful. And Key West, same thing, low 70s and 80s and no rain. So irrigation systems can come on if you need it. You know, stick your finger in the ground. If it's cool, moist, or damp, you don't need to water or irrigate.
So I kind of took over our irrigation this last year, and my husband, Shrek, still has not figured this out yet. Because he was a water in the afternoon person.
Yes.
Okay. And so since I've been doing the show, you're like, no, creates mold. And I'm like, okay. So I kind of took it over. So it starts around 4 o'clock-ish in the morning whenever we do run it. And he wakes up. He's like, that dadgum irrigation must have been running all night. I'm like, oh, what? What?
Was it running all night?
No. It started at 4 o'clock in the morning, but I'm up and I'm out, you know, 4 o'clock in the mornings, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, he's texting me, you know, whenever he gets, you know, the dog's out about 5 o'clock, you know, so, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so, yes. He just chill. Lizzie's got it under control.
That's right. I'm a boss boy.
Yeah. So taking advantage of this beautiful weather, get outside, plant some flowers and vegetables and pull some weeds. They are starting like crazy, especially if you clear an area. The weed seeds are going to come to the top surface of the ground, and they're going to germinate.
Is that what happened because we just plowed our area to put our corn and our watermelons and pumpkins? And I'm like, what is all this grass? Where were you? Where were you? Where were you a few years ago?
The rototillers, they bring it up to the surface, and as soon as sunlight hits it, they germinate. So that's not good. So I will be at Lowe's today, 1792, to celebrate Earth Day. I'll be there 10 to 12. I'd love to see you there. Bring me your photographs and any issues you have. I'd love to see them. And then also the monthly newsletter in your backyard. You can go to the website and sign up for it. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Well, this last week, I was supposed to interview one of the hardest working extension agents in the state, and that's Tina McIntyre. And we had the electrical downage, but she is here today with us, and she is going to be telling us what we're celebrating. Good morning, Tina. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa and Lizzie. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm great.
It's a beautiful morning. It's a great day. What are we celebrating today in Seminole County?
So many things. Of course, it's spring, and we're celebrating Earth Day and water conservation with our WaterWise events.
That is so true. So April is, you know, Water Conservation Month. This year and last year, we had a really hard drought, and we're still in it right now. So how does drought affect our landscapes?
Yeah, drought can be really tough on our plants, and that's why we want to select the right plant for the right soil, moisture, and light for the site that we're looking at, right? So when we're doing that plant selection, but folks might see signs of wilting with leaves drooping or turf grass curling. So looking out for those signs of drought is kind of a way to know if your landscape is stressed out.
And so Seminole County Extension is a wonderful resource for Seminole County residents. So how can you help Seminole County residents, homeowners, with their soil?
Yeah, so the UFIFAS Extension Office in Seminole County offers so much assistance. So we have our Master Gardener Help Desk here to help with any of your residential plant questions. We have our local pH soil testing, so that's going to be just $2 at our office. And we also have a method for helping clients get their soil up to Gainesville. So we kind of give them the form and tell them how to do it. They can send it up to Gainesville. That's $10, but that gives you a full analysis of your soil. So all the different macro and micronutrients, and really telling you more about maybe even the organic matter that's in your soil.
And they could just cite what they want to plant, whether they want to do vegetables and fruit trees or turf, and what else can they ask for?
Yeah, so we have specific forms for farmers and for landscapers, or like you said, if they're doing vegetables specifically, or if it really is just a general landscape test for their front or backyard.
So you're doing special events this month. You have webinars, wonderful educational programs. Tell me some of those.
Yeah, so it is Water Conservation Month, and it's so funny because I always laugh when people say April showers bring May flowers, which really I think is more for the north and everything. But here it's dry and windy, and we have so many great events to kind of highlight that, hey, it's dry and windy, but we have so many things that we can do. So we had our Reclaiming Water workshop where we teach people about reclaimed irrigation water and just irrigation in general to try to conserve, you know, that moving forward. We had our rain barrel workshop this past week, and then we just wrapped up our trees and pollinators workshop, and all those were online. And of course, today is kind of our coup de grace event.
Yes, it is. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, so we're going to be at the Lowe's in Sanford between 9:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. We had a bunch of lucky winners from all of those webinars, so they're going to be picking up their freebies. I notified them yesterday. And we have so many great giveaways, so those were all spoken for. But at the Lowe's today, we actually have a showerhead exchange, so you can get a low-flow showerhead that feels really great on your body, but it actually saves a lot of water. So bring in your old showerhead, and we'll give you a new one.
Free of cost, right? There's no charge for that, right?
Free of charge, right? Nothing's free anymore. So it's pretty amazing. City of Sanford is sponsoring the whole event. It doesn't matter, you know, they don't really check, you know, where you're from or whatever. So just come on by. And we also have Lowe's raffling off a free grill and a low-flow toilet.
That's wonderful. That's a great opportunity for everyone. And so just going back a little bit to the reclaimed water, what do you want people to know about reclaimed water if they have it? How does that affect their landscape?
Oh, thank you so much for asking that question, because this is a huge program that we've had funded by the Environmental Protection Division. And the main messages for reclaimed is that it has nutrients in it. So if you have reclaimed irrigation water, that's the purple pipe, you can actually use less fertilizer. And we're still working on the quantification of exactly how much. But in general, you can use less fertilizer if you're on reclaimed. And, you know, we don't want to overuse it. It's a really important resource. They put a lot of money into creating reclaimed. And since it has nutrients, if it becomes that non-point source pollution, it can actually pollute our waterways. And so being really careful about calibrating your irrigation system is important. And then the other really important point is that we don't want to be irrigating our vegetable gardens that have fresh eating foods. So only things that are thermally processed or around the root zone of trees, things like that, is going to be fine for any of those edibles. And of course, it's fine for any landscape, but including shrubs and trees, turf grass, etc. But things like lettuce or bell peppers, it's just really not ideal for that. So we don't want people irrigating with reclaimed for those things.
Okay, that's important for them to know. And so with irrigation systems, they're now standard for every home. So, of course, people are using more water. They think they need to use it. They live here in Florida. It's hot. Oh, my goodness, we can't put down enough water. But what should people know about their irrigation systems to help save water, but also money?
That's right. Yeah, if we have our systems with lots of leaks and spewing just too much water, that's not good for our plants, but it's also not good for our pocketbook, because as that water goes out, the bill goes up, right?
Yes.
So we want to make sure that we have a well-calibrated irrigation system by doing what we call the catch can method.
Mm-hmm.
So putting little cat or tuna cans around the zone, maybe like five, and we actually have these for free with our reclaimed classes. We give these away as part of the class. So definitely check that out. We have another one on Tuesday. But you put these cans around the yard, you turn on the system for 15 minutes, and after 15 minutes, grab a ruler, see how much is in each can, and you take an average, and that's going to tell you how much water is actually on the yard.
And so what if there's no water in the can? What does that mean?
Oh, that means you have some issues, right? And that can happen too. We have vegetation that might block the actual spray heads. You have vegetation that might grow up around, so that's why those donuts are really important for marking our areas. And, you know, things happen to the irrigation system. Maybe somebody ran over it with a car or a mower. So checking that and making sure that actual water is coming out, because that's a big problem too.
Yeah, and so like you need really head-to-head coverage. Sometimes they'll see a dead spot in their landscape or in their lawn, and they keep watering it or they water it more, and the water's still not getting there.
That's right.
So
it happens all the time.
It does. And so Florida Friendly Landscaping, right plant, right place. What should our homeowners, our gardeners know about selecting the right plant?
Yeah, so we want to make sure that we're thinking about that species, that individual plant. So asking questions like, well, where is this plant native to? How did it evolve? What ecosystem is it from? And if we can match that plant species to those types of features, so if it's an aquatic species, it's going to be near a lakeshore. If it's, you know, from a desert, maybe it's from a dune in Florida, then it might be in a really dry, sandy spot. And that's going to set it up for success, and we're going to see less pest infestations, better flowering and fruiting, and overall have less inputs like water, fertilizer, or other maintenance treatments.
So this is the big question, and I get a lot of questions about it, and I know you do too as well. Turf grass, is it Florida-friendly turf?
Yeah, and so some might be surprised that, yes, turf grass can be Florida-friendly. So for areas where our pets and children need to play, where we need to prevent erosion or even create a feeling of uniformity throughout a neighborhood, a little strip of turf grass can be the right plant for the right place. However, just like any other Florida-friendly plant, we don't want to try to force it to live where it likely won't be happy. So, for example, shade, right?
Right.
Turf grass in most landscapes will benefit from 1/2 to 3/4 of an inch of water. So again, the right amount of water is important for that turf grass too.
That's wonderful. So we've just got another minute or so. What link can they go to about the class on Tuesday and find out more information about water conservation? Give us a few links, Tina.
Absolutely. So for today, again, just come on out to the Lowe's in Sanford. We're going to be having a great day between 9:30 and 11:30 a.m. Lots of free giveaways, T-shirts, all that good stuff. And then for all of our other workshops and programs coming up, like the one on Tuesday, we have our Seminole County Extension Eventbrite page where people can register for classes or just learn more. And then we are also on Facebook and other platforms as well. So find us online, and we're happy to connect with you in the future.
And so if it's online, anybody can go and be part of that webinar.
That's right. So for our webinars, they're free and open, accessible to anyone. So regardless of race or location or any other feature, we're happy to have you.
There you go. Thank you so much, Tina. I appreciate it. I'm going to see you soon.
We'll see ya.
Bye-bye. That's Tina McIntyre. She is the Florida Friendly Landscaping Agent for Seminole County, and she does a fantastic job. Their webinars are phenomenal. You can go online and just sign up for them. They're free and open to anyone. And then get your shower head down and bring it in to the Lowe's in Sanford and get a new shower head.
Drain your shower head before you bring it.
I know. Speaking from experience,
yes,
Lizzie.
Yes. I mean, literally, like, I've done that before. Like, I've taken something in and been like, and somebody looks at me and goes, why didn't you either dry this or what? And I'm like, I don't know.
Don't come dripping through the store. Facts. No, come out and see us. I'm going to be there from about 9:30 through 11:30 or 12. I'll, you know, hang around. And I will help you select plants and give you some landscape design ideas. I certainly appreciate it. Big thank you to Tina McIntyre, University of Florida, Seminole County Extension Office there. We certainly appreciate it. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And this is your chance now to ask your gardening questions. You can call 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680, like Mike has and Howie has. Good morning, Howie, and also Aida. So I really do appreciate it. So now, Aida in Windermere, she says, good morning. My lemon tree had dozens and dozens of flowers, all to have two lemons. What is wrong? Love your program. Thanks, Aida in Windermere. Aida, there's nothing wrong. Okay, so I don't know how old your tree is and how long it's been in the ground, but citrus trees will produce a profuse amount of blooms, especially if they're the Myers lemon. They are just so many, and they're so fragrant. But then it's going to drop what it can't take care of. And so sometimes if the watering or irrigation schedule is, you know, interrupted, or if there's an extreme amount of heat, or even if you over-fertilize, it will drop some of those flowers. But the good news is that they drop their flowers. If you'll look, you're going to see lemons on the end of that stem. And so the lemons are going to start to come now. So you only have two lemons that you can see. But look at the others, and it will start producing more. And lemons produce all year round. So you're going to see them over the next year or so. The other thing is that sometimes citrus trees or any fruit tree will take a year off. So if you had a lot of lemons last year, then it produced the blooms this year, but it's going to say, I'm going to take it easy this year, you know? And that's why it's important to fertilize on a regular basis so that they can have the energy to produce every year, every harvest season. Okay, so great question, Aida. Look at it. Don't worry about it. It's going to keep producing lemons all year round. It's not like the typical orange or tangerine or grapefruit that they only produce one time a year. Lemons and limes produce all year round. Okay, that's a great question. So Mike says that he takes advantage of Tina's webinars. She's a great teacher. She is, Mike. She is a fabulous teacher. And so he is down in Venice, and he's still takes the webinars. So that's a really good investment, Mike. Thank you so much. So Mark in Winter Garden. So last week I had some text messages from last week. So I hope they're listening this week.
Yes.
And I'm going to answer your questions. So Mark in Winter Garden asked, I have a lime tree whose leaves turned to brown last year. Then the new growth came in last month. Now they are starting to turn brown again. They get plenty of water, but not a lot. Do you think this could be a nutrient issue? Do you think citrus fertilizer would be best? I've been spraying neem oil on it. You said citrus greening is not prevalent with lemons and lime trees. I'd love your advice. Okay, Mike, so I'm sorry, Mark. I'm going to take this one by one. Okay, so your leaves are turning brown. If they are brown and crackly, that means it's either a not enough water issue or a fertilizer burn. If they are brown and wilty and kind of limp, that could be a fungal issue or an overwatering issue. Okay, so I'd have to know what kind of brown it is. Now, do you think it's a nutrient issue? No. You get a discoloration, chlorosis. You'll see the veins and some of the nutrient issues. Not turning brown. Brown is it's getting too much fertilizer, or it's not getting enough water. One of those two issues. Okay, so do you think a citrus fertilizer would be best? You can use just a plain fertilizer, just a 666, 888, 10-10-10 with some boost from your micronutrients. You can add a little bit of that. But citrus really is not a particular very intense kind of all the different nutrients. It just is a simple fertilizer will be good. It's just that it's needed on a regular basis. 1 pound per caliper inch of the tree trunk, and that is up to 5 pounds. So, you know, I don't know how much you're putting down or what you're using. Okay, if you're using a liquid versus a granular, that's going to make a big difference. So then you've been spraying neem oil on it. Well, neem oil can burn a plant, especially in the heat of 90, 95 degree temperatures and at what time of the day. So I don't know why you're putting neem oil on it if we don't know what's going on. Okay, so we have to identify an issue first before we put oil on it. Now, if you're using oil to prevent psyllids from getting into the tree and attacking it, that is one way to do it. But I would recommend doing it in the early mornings or later on, later in the evening, or, you know, earlier, dusk sometime, so that the oil is not on it in the heat of the day, that the plant gets a chance to absorb it and it doesn't burn. So if you're using neem oil or any kind of oil, put it on in the early morning, dusk time at night, and then that's going to be better for it. So the citrus greening. So I didn't say that citrus greening is not prevalent in lemons and limes. What I said was that they can survive with it. It doesn't kill them. And so they can still produce good fruit. Citrus greening with oranges and grapefruits and tangerines, it will turn the fruit sour and the tree will die. What we found is that some lemons and limes are stronger they can survive with the citrus greening, and it doesn't affect them so much that they die, and the fruit stays fine. So that's the good thing about lemons and limes and citrus greening. Okay, so brown leaves are not a nutrient symptom. The citrus needs citrus fertilizer. You can go ahead and put that down on a regular basis. And then you want to make sure that you're making sure you're getting enough water, which I think could be the issue, and also using the neem oil and the fertilizer at the same time. So let me know a little bit more information, Mark, if you're listening. I will let you know. I'll contact you, and so you can hear this, and I'll find out a little bit more information. So thank you very much for that. I do appreciate it. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. I will be at the Lowe's in Sanford today at 1792. We're celebrating Earth Day. Seminole County Extension's going to be there. The Master Gardeners are going to be there. They also, the City of Sanford, they're doing a free showerhead exchange. Go ahead and bring your showerhead to Sanford, and they will give you a great water-conserving showerhead, brand new. And you can get that. I'll help you with your landscape designs and help you select plants for your garden. Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's Top 5.
So tomorrow is Palm Sunday. So I am going to be doing my top 5 favorite palm trees. My first one is a Mexican blue Hesper fan palm, a Brahia armata. It grows very slowly. It can be expected to grow at an average of 6 inches a year. It grows in hardiness zones 8 to 11. Hardy to 15 degrees, full sun to part shade, and it is blue. It's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. My next one is a Christmas palm, Avecchia marilli, and it's native to Philippines. It grows moderate to fast, usually doesn't get taller than 10 to 20 feet and 5 to 10 feet wide. In December, the fruits go from green to brilliant red. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous tree. It is not cold tolerant, though. It will freeze, so be careful where you are. My third is a foxtail palm, Wotidia bifurcate, and it grows up to 30 feet tall, 20 feet wide. December, the fruits turn red, just gorgeous. Beautiful, not cold hardy either. Can't take temperatures below 35 degrees. Fourth one is a Bismarck palm, Bismarckia nobilis. Beautiful blue. It comes from east coast of Africa. It can reach 70 feet tall, so mind where you put it. It is great for zones 8B, very cold tolerant, down to 15 degrees. And my last one is my favorite ruffled fan palm, Liquala grandis. It is a ruffled fan palm, one of the most beautiful and interesting and elegant palms from the rainforests of Solomon Islands. It grows slowly. It needs full shade. It is not cold tolerant. Absolutely a collector's dream. The variegated one is just gorgeous. So that's my top five palm trees.
Ooh, I love blue, though.
Oh, I do. I love blue palm trees, too. I love blue trees anyway.
Yes.
So anything with blue is wonderful. So we have a few minutes to get your gardening questions answered. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. The monthly newsletter for May will be coming out in a couple of weeks. If you would like to receive my monthly newsletter, it is free. And I do not spam, do not sell it. So I just send it out once a month. You can go to my Facebook or my webpage, which is www.shehe-consulting.com. And on the very front is sign up for the newsletter. And if you do that, I would love to send it to you. So it's going to come out soon, and it's going to be a really great issue. So you'll want to see it. Also, too, you can check out Art and Bloom Garden Tours. This is our garden tour company, and we visit fabulous, fabulous, beautiful botanical and private gardens. We go all over the world and the country, and we go to some really very, very special events. So check that out, Art and Bloom GardenTours.com. Come with me, and we can just, both of us, just geek out at plants.
Yes, and I love that. And you can go to the website and find out the cost of all that and get signed up for it.
So yes, I love this. It's wonderful. You can join us, and we just visit some wonderful places, and we have wonderful tours coming up. So in June, we're going to Newport, have a room there for two more people, and we go to the Newport Mansions and all the different Blythewald Estate and Block Island. It's just going to be incredible. In July, we're going to the largest garden walk in the United States. It's incredible, too. I literally, when I went there almost 12 years ago, it changed my whole landscape design philosophy.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So it is just wonderful. You love the arts and crafts movement, Buffalo, New York. We are also going to the Niagara, Canadian Niagara Falls. So you'll need a passport for that. And then in August, we're going to Scotland.
Mm.
And we're going to go on a search for Loch Ness Monster, Nessie. We're going to take a boat ride on Loch Ness, visit some beautiful castle gardens. And if you've ever seen Harry Potter and the train ride to Hogwarts, we are going on that train and that viaduct.
Yes, and if you're planning on doing this, then go ahead. And if you don't have a passport, you need to go ahead and apply now because it's
take 3 to 6 months.
Correct. So, and the good part about your tours is you guys keep it small and quaint.
Yes.
There isn't like hundreds and hundreds and busloads of people following.
And when we go to events, it's usually the day before and it's not at the time where huge crowds are there.
Yeah.
So we really have a really private, intimate, trip, and we don't have a lot of people. So just special people come. So you special people out there, let us know. All right. So great, great questions. So, so Catherine in Claremont asked, what is a good plant for the front yard? And it was so interesting because she said that it needs to be able to take full sun and heavy water. And so when she said heavy water, I'm going, what does that mean? Because Claremont's really that Lake Wales dry sandy area. It's that she has it down by the gutter. So one, Catherine, I want you not necessarily to plant anything so close to the house that you get gutters, but also two, your gutters should drain away from your house at least 2 feet away. And so coming right down at the foundation is not good for your landscape, for your home, for your termiticide barriers. So you want to bring it out to the middle of the yard or someplace. But having the water around your foundation, 2 feet around your foundation, is not a good thing. So there are so many different plants that we could use that would take the heat and sun. This is one of the best things about living in Florida. And so if you would like to go to my website, she-consulting.com, and Catherine, send me a question through my website. I will email you back 10 to 15 to 20 different plants that you can put in your front yard that take full sun, can handle water, but also to can take the heat, can take the winter. So many different plants. I just don't want to make it on one or two here. So go to my website, send me an email, or they could go to our Facebook page and send an email there. Let me know, send the question there, and I will answer you, give you a whole bunch of recommendations, Catherine. There's so many. You could do plumbago. You could do African irises. You can do even hibiscus. There's really so many different great plants to do there. Whirling butterflies. I love whirling butterflies. So Nancy in Merritt Island, she says, I have a money tree which I rescued from a clearance table. It did really good for a while, and now its leaves are starting to turn brown. I Googled it. You Googled it, and you believe what you read on the internet, Nancy? And it says it's not getting enough water, so I'm trying to water it more. Is there anything else I should know or do? Yes. You might not have proper amount of soil that the money tree is going to grow in. And do you know how big money trees get, Nancy? They get huge. They get to be 30, 40 feet tall, and they really have a big root system. So I would either, one, it might be in a small pot since it was on the clearance table, and it might have dried out, doesn't have any nutritional soil around it. So I would repot it into a bigger pot, depending on what size it is. Okay, so if it's in a little 4-inch pot or a 6-inch pot or a 1-gallon pot, pull it out of the pot, look at the root system, and see if it's just root bound, if there's not any soil in it, and you can go ahead and bump it up to a larger pot, or you can cut a third of the roots off and then put more soil in the pot and repot it. So I'm thinking it's a soil issue. It's not that you're not watering enough. So it may be one of those things that you won't be able to water it at all. Enough because the soil is not good, okay? And by that, I just mean that the plant has either used up all the nutrition in it or it's just very dry and you're never going to get it to hold on to moisture, okay? So check that out, Nancy. Check the soil. Pull it out of the pot. Lots of roots. Cut a third of the roots off. Put more soil in the pot and put it back in the pot or just pot it, put it into a larger pot, and it should do much better, okay? Thank you so much for the question, Nancy. So Catherine said, it's heavy rains. It gets a lot of water because of a rain gutter. The water does not pool. It drains. I'm sure the water doesn't pool because it's Claremont. It will drain really well. And so I just want you to make sure that just go ahead and give me an email, and I'll send you a lot of plants on it. Thank you so much. So Brad in Gainesville, I'm going to handle your question in the next hour. I just want to remind everyone that Tina McIntyre and Seminole County and City of Sanford are going to be at the Lowe's today in Sanford on 1792 at 9:30. Come out and see everybody. There's a lot of great giveaways, and also you can exchange your shower head. Bring one shower head, and they'll give you a brand new one that's really good for your shower to help you save money and water. That will be great. And then I'll be there. I will be doing designs for you or helping you select plants. Come out and see me. I would love to meet you. And we can just geek out about plants right there at Lowe's. And I'll help you buy some really good ones. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed anything from the show or any other shows, you can always catch it on our podcast, and that is located on betterlawns.com. Go to betterlawns.com to find any podcast that you're looking for.